Central Valley. It's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. We are live here, Fashion Furniture. This is The Rise. I'm Matt Johnson. Typically, it would be Matt Johnson along with Nick Papagni, the Pagmeter. He'll be calling in after the 1 o'clock hour. He's out in Memphis, Tennessee, finishing up on his little quest to enlighten the rest of the world on what the Pagmeter.com and what he's all about. But short of that, I mean, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to drive down Herndon heading east towards the mountains and see when it's nice and cool out and you see the snow-capped mountains in the background as you head to Fashion Furniture. And it gives me just that good vibe. Wouldn't it be marvelous if the air quality in this air can be as crisp and clear as this, where you could really take in the backdrop that makes our Central Valley so spectacular at times, and that's the mountain range. I love that look. Love being here at Fashion Furniture, the one and only. Your one-stop shop for anything you need to outfit your house. They have a great sales team. One of the best credit and finance departments is right here on location. We're here at the Fashion Furniture Studio enjoying the setting. We like to thank Firehouse Subs. They've been a partner of ours feeding not only America but also helping first responders and all their needs out there in the general public. If they need something to help save lives, Fashion Furniture and companies like Firehouse Subs are always there to help our community deliver the best that we can offer. Having said that, it's going to be a busy, jam-packed show. I'm going to open up with a little bit of the Super Bowl action, but I'd like to at least let you know that Ricky Manning Jr., the outstanding, legendary athlete from our valley, has played in the Super Bowl. He'll be joining us live on set here. I've got a lot of great guest lines up. This is really what I call the high school football talent show. This is going to be featuring a combine, if you will, a talent evaluation setting that's going to be coming up here in the Central Valley in March 10th at Edison High School, and it will be diamonds in the rough. A lot of you youngsters out there have always wondered, or parents have wondered, how do I get my son a ranking? What's all this ranking stuff and how these kids seem to thrive on the idea that they've got a one-star, two-star, five-star ranking? How does that work? Well, I've got a lot of good friends I work with here in the Valley, and they're bringing one of the largest combines to help facilitate the exposure and that ranking system you're talking about. And we've got the man who takes care of it from a editorial and from a news writing experience and being an Italian evaluator. Ryan Wright will be joining us later on the show, and he'll talk about what he does and how he captures each individual student athlete and give them the exposure that's well deserved here in our valley that we haven't had very often, quite frankly. So having said that, I would like to start in with the Super Bowl and my take on what I evaluated during the game. First and foremost, everyone's talking about America. I don't know if they're completely saying enough about the overwhelming job that Bill Belichick did in outshining the Wonder Kid, the latest savant in the world of the National Football League. So popular, in fact, is Sean McVay, the head coach of the Rams, that now it seems like every organization in football, including college, is searching for that young leader of offense, that air raid, that new feature that the NFL is starting to reach out to and figuring out how these young minds can help change the game. And lo and behold, the old master, Bill Belichick, slapped the young guy right across the forehead and said, "You're not ready yet for this kind of show." Because the offense for the Rams was so anemic. It wasn't even a shell of what I expected to see. And you can blame a lot of things on the great defense and the great preparation that Bill Belichick did, but I don't think he did anything that was revolutionary. Mr. Colsell mentioned a couple days ago on radio that it was his evaluation that Bill Belichick created this 6-1 defense that really confused the Los Angeles Rams, and I think that's a bunch of hogwash. You know, they had safeties and a cover two look behind that, two safeties that could come down and help play and support the run. But what I gathered out of all that was that the Los Angeles Rams were predictable. They run on first down. That defense obviously is set up to stop the outside zone run. That defense with those defenders up front, six in the box, as Mr. Cosell put it, was set up to stop first down. How about this concept? Can you throw drive routes and underneath stuff on first down instead of running the ball? If you were that, if your tendencies for the Rams was that predictable, how in the world did they get this far? Oh, that's right. A couple bad calls here and there, and the New Orleans Saints missed out on a Super Bowl opportunity. I am not bashing the Rams, but I'm putting everyone back in check on what's really most important in the world of coaching, in the world of preparing a football team, a basketball team, and what have you. It's not a fad. It's not a trend you must follow. It must be principled in culture. Culture over scheme. And the New England Patriots culture of that organization is second to none. Probably, arguably, the greatest culture in the history of sports franchises, at least professional sports franchises. And that, I believe, was the difference. Also, the fact that I sat around thinking to myself, is Todd Gurley the most overrated running back in the history of the National Football League, or am I missing something? Obviously, every voting ballot has him picked one or two as the great running back in the National Football League, but every game that I've witnessed, and I mean every game that I've witnessed the Rams play on television, I have yet to see him perform up to those lofty expectations that somebody has placed on him. I think he's a fine back. I think he has certain skill sets in running that zone play, but I don't believe he's anywhere near the ability of, let's say, Saquon Barkley, the young, outstanding rookie. I don't think he's actually, I don't believe, in the top five. It's one man's opinion, but I'm just telling you what I've seen with my own eyes. And then, of course, you're playing in Atlanta, you're playing in Georgia, where he played his college football in Georgia, and the man gets 10 carries. Well, people are saying he was hurt. Well, then they didn't announce that he was injured. They announced that he was 100% ready to go. I don't blame Todd Gurley for that. I blame the head coach. I think his plan was not valid. He might have got caught up in the glitz and the glamour of the Super Bowl and being in that game the first time. But clearly, their team was not ready to play. I give hats off to the Rams' defense. But again, I think that was more of a matter of the Patriots haven't exactly been explosive. They've been methodical in their approach. They've discovered the run game, and they do what's necessary to win. So in closing, I'd like to just finish with this. Until you figure out that wisdom and culture is more important than scheme, I think teams will continue to reach for that one individual, that one young, outstanding mind that they believe will change their program. And I don't think it's that. You better start finding the coach that has a culture scheme, not an X and O scheme. And if you can do that, you might have an opportunity to match wits with the great New England Patriots. Having said that, I'd like to take a break. I've got a little difficulty on my end here with the setup. But for us, if you're listening, let's take a commercial break, and we'll be back, and we'll start introducing this great high school combine coming here to the Valley with the greatest exposure that's ever been brought to Central Valley football. It's happening right here live in Fresno, March 10th. We'll be back. You're listening to 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs.
Welcome back. We are live here, Fashion Furniture, the one and only one-stop shop for everything you need, from furniture to accessories inside your home, from curio cabinets, from little paintings and pictures and artwork you want to put in your house. If you need it for that interior, you come out here, because you're not obligated to do anything, but you can tour this place and be welcomed by, obviously, I believe, and I don't think anyone can dispute this, the greatest sales team, the greatest group of individuals who can help you and not pressure you through to picking out the right product, the right color, the right design that you need for your given space. They will design it, they'll measure everything up, and they'll help you make the best informative decision on what you might need for your house. I love what Fashion Furniture does for our local community. I love what they do to keep sponsoring and helping our local sports. It's just marvelous. And they don't ever brag about it, but I certainly do on every Thursday we do this. I also want to thank Firehouse Subs. They are also heavily involved in our community and helping give back to our community athletic teams. And, of course, first responders out there, that's what they're known for, is the quality of their sandwich, but the ability to give back to our fire and chief, our fire chief. And if they need something in the police department, if they need a piece of material and it costs a certain amount of money, it's out of the budget, Firehouse Subs is always giving back to make sure that all first responders are well equipped for the great job that they do day in and day out. At this point, I want to segue into this. High school football, professional football, college football, scouting combines and all that go on all over America. And all of that now is coming to our Central Valley. But before I get into those pertinent questions, I want to introduce a good friend, one heck of a great football player and a great coach and leader of young men. Of course, I'm talking about the head coach, the leader of the Edison Tigers football program, Mr. Atnoff Harris. Welcome to the show.
How you doing, Matt Johnson?
I'm doing well, thank you. I think that can you hear him all right, Russ? We're on four. We're good now. Welcome to the show, Mr. Atnoff Harris.
How you doing, Matt Johnson?
I'm doing very well, thank you. We got it right. Sorry about that. We had you on the wrong feed. But, Atnoff, the Super Bowl. You're an ex-NFL player, a wide receiver. I just was very critical, I thought, of the Rams, and not necessarily the players in general, but the plan. I wasn't enamored with Sean McVay, the plan
right.
Offensively. I was waiting for this explosive Rams offense. I didn't see it. But what I did see was a man that you're probably familiar with, Mr. Bill Belichick,
right.
Systematically in 2 weeks completely tore apart the entire offensive system that the Rams deploy.
Right.
What was your take on the Super Bowl?
Be honest, watching the Super Bowl and talking about it with a couple friends, a lot of people was disappointed with how the Rams performed.
Right.
But me telling everyone, I wasn't so much disappointed in how the Rams performed, but I don't think we give the Patriots enough credit. You know, the Patriots have a way of outperforming you. And in that game, I felt like the Patriots came in with a better game plan.
Sure, certainly.
Which neutralized the Rams' offense and
yes.
forced them to do some things they didn't want to do. And that's kind of who the Patriots are. So, in looking at the game, instead of being more disappointed in the Rams' offense, I was more impressed with the Patriots' defense.
Right. Well, yeah, I obviously that it goes without saying I would totally agree with that. My point in getting the trying to get the feedback from you is, mm-hmm. okay, great. They weren't ready. They weren't equipped.
Right.
The same as the Patriots. Their plan was better. Mm-hmm. That's usually how it works when you're playing that organization with
right.
the guy in charge, Mr. Belichick. But I felt like if the greatest, most talked about coach, the new age of the youth movement
right.
from college football and, of course, the National Football League, he seems to be the guy that set that tone. So basically you're matching wits with maybe, let's use, I don't know, the John Wooden of the NFL, the most probably when he goes all said and done, he'll be the most legendary head football coach in the history of the professional football.
Right.
But I just thought I would see a little bit more out of Sean McVay. And the only thing that Tony Romo, who I think is doing a great job as the color commentator, brought up, which really was the first time I've ever heard that, was that the great coaching move for the Rams was waiting till the clock got down to 15 seconds because the communication signal in the offensive quarterback's headset and the linebacker and defensive back's headset goes off at 15.
Right.
So they waited to get into their formation until
right.
then. Okay, that's great. But how about this concept that you've got supposedly the best or one of the best running backs in your backfield, and the guy carries the ball 10 times? I was lost in how they accepted what the Patriots defense was going to do to them.
Well, Gurley's been hurt the second half of the season. So I think with him not being more involved in the offense, it had a lot to do with his injury.
Yeah.
And so they wanted to get him involved, but I think they had a limit on how much they wanted to use him or else he would have been more heavily involved. And, again, just thinking back about the how the Rams perform as opposed to the Patriots game plan, and, you know, it's controversial, everybody talking about it, but
right.
for me, being a former player, it's a player's game. And no matter what preparation or no matter what game plan you go into the game, it can be the greatest game plan in the world. But if the players don't execute it,
sure.
then You know, it don't matter. Yeah. And so Belichick obviously is a veteran in the Super Bowl, and so he know how to prepare. He know how to get his players prepared. So I think he had a coaching that is there. But at the end of the day, it come down to players making plays. And in that game, the Patriots just made more plays than the Rams did. And for me, it's that simple.
Simple.
You know, and I'm watching the game and even talking with some friends, I'm watching Rams receivers running one-on-one routes downfield, especially in the slot, and they wasn't getting open.
Yeah.
I mean, as an offensive coach, your job is to create the one-on-ones. And so once you create the one-on-ones, the players got to go win.
Yep.
You know, it's very rare you can get a player wide open. But if you can create the one-on-one, and as coaches, we're teaching players to win the one-on-one. But players have to go out and make plays. And if you watch that game and you go back and watch it, the Rams receivers were not getting open.
That's right.
So at the end of the day, for me, players got to make plays. But I do think the Patriots were better, you know, being veterans in the Super Bowl, they were better prepared.
Well said. We're visiting with Atnoff Harris here on our show, 940's ESPN's The Rise. You're Edison Tigers.
Yeah.
You're going down to your second season. I have a little firsthand knowledge of the ebb and flow and the dips up and down and the landmines and things you can see during the course of getting prepared for a season.
Right.
Now that that's done and now you hunker in for your next campaign, what are the areas that you're trying to improve upon most? What shows up and pops out right in front of your forehead of things that we need to get better at for your team to do what you want to do?
Well, two things come to mind, weight room and discipline.
Yep.
As you're familiar with as being a former coach at Edison. We just got brand new weight room.
Yep.
Brand new equipment. I mean, our weight room has been totally redone. So we've been in it for the last 3 weeks now. So heavenly focusing in the weight room. And the other part is discipline.
Right.
As you know, being on time, doing things the right way, the way you coach to do it. It's as simple as that. Has nothing to do with on the field, football, X's and O's. It's the little things. And right now, and we're not even going to go on the field to late this spring.
Right.
We're focusing in the weight room and doing the little things right.
Well, that's the theme of my show today is what you just said, and this was perfect timing for you.
Right.
What you're talking about is, Coach, creating a culture over the scheme.
Right.
We'll work on that.
Right. Right. You know,
preps for the game nights and all that. But getting that culture right, that accountability and standard of what you're going to be in a program. And that's a day-to-day, you know, consistent level of work. Right. You going to keep a lot of the familiar faces in your coaching staff? What's the dynamic of your coaching staff? Have you made a few moves here or there?
We've made a few moves,
yep.
But the majority of our coaching staff is staying together. No major move.
Yep.
Just added a couple pieces to what we have already. And I think it's really good staff.
Well, you're an outstanding student athlete coming out of Edison High School and then getting a chance to play for your Fresno State Bulldogs.
Right.
Staying home local. Tell me about your thoughts in these last couple seasons of getting a chance to really enjoy the heck out of watching the Bulldog football program do what it's doing.
Man.
Yeah.
They have done a heck of a job. I mean, even putting a good coaching staff together, putting in all the work. I mean, not that you wouldn't think it would go this well, but you wouldn't imagine for them to play and put that program together as fast as they have. And I'm even looking now to take some things they're doing and add it to my tool belt.
Yep.
But I'm just surprised by how well they're playing.
Now, do you feel that with the rest of the alumni and guys you played with, that the kind of that enthusiasm for Fresno State Bulldog football is starting to rise and everyone's popping up and tailgating and partying and getting ready for game day?
And we got a pretty good tight group within the alumni, and we're always talking and communicating.
Yep.
And, you know, guys is texting and DMing each other on Twitter.
Right.
Hey, how can we get together? Let's start a group. Just last night, I think the guys got together for signing day
yep.
and had an event there. So we're always being creative and looking for ways how can we get more involved. And even with Teffer coming back home, he was the guy who actually recruited me to Fresno State. He was there.
Well, I was just going to ask you, your freshman year, what years did you, when did you get into Fresno State?
Fall of 97.
Fall of 97.
Which was his last year there.
So, yes, that was Coach Teffer's last year. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So back then, what was your, if you can remember back to that point, what were the nuggets that you got from Coach Tedford and other coaches on that staff when you were there?
Nuggets.
Little nuggets, little tidbits that you maybe put in your pocket and you keep to this day that you use when times are tough or you're doing things a certain way and you kind of remember back to your days at Fresno State as a football player. What did you carry with you in that experience?
Just you know, going from high school to college, just the discipline, the consistency, the structure, and really just doing things the right way, you know, and that's a lot of times that's overlooked.
Right.
You know, not just doing what you're told, but doing it the right way and being consistent. And that was the biggest turnover from high school to college ball.
Now, back when you came out of high school, other than the fact that you were an outstanding athlete, but, you know, they would know you, of you in this valley, what were the vehicles in place in those days to get you a national exposure? There clearly wasn't as much rival scout, 24/7 sports.
Right.
The internet wasn't what it is today. If it was even now, my day, it wasn't even existing.
No.
But you had something started up. But how did, and which we're going to segue into this combine, the thing that goes on here in the valley. How did kids? Did you go to camp 7-on-7s? What were you doing back then?
You know, we talk about that all the time now, and that was in '97.
Yep.
When we were playing high school, there wasn't social media.
Yep.
There was no social media. They didn't even hail the camps and combines. Their 7-on-7 didn't exist. The way you got exposure was specifically the way you played on Friday nights.
Right.
That was it. Your film was who you were.
And colleges had to get out of their office, have the budgets to go canvas America and internationally for that matter, and find talent like yourself.
Yeah. We didn't even have the huddle media deal.
Yeah.
Where coaches can see.
Yeah, there was no highlight tapes.
No.
I had a buddy I played with. I told the story 3 weeks ago. He got noticed. He built a VHS.
Right.
And he just ran copies, about 30 copies. He's mailed them to universities. I'm out here in Ohio. No one knows who I am.
Right. You got exposure, specifically how you played on Friday night, and that word just carried from one coach to another. It's the only way you got seen. And so if you were a really good player and a coach noticed you, he would probably mention it to another coach, and then they would send each other film. Yeah. But there was no social media. There was no other way to get exposure at that time versus how it is now.
So when you joined forces, and you've always done this, I admire you always from afar with the ability to the 7-on-7s and all the extra work you put in on the holidays and the weekends and all that, kind of developing the craft, not just as a receiver, but the craft that you came from was primarily what they do in 7-on-7. So that's a really interesting part of it. Mm-hmm. But now you're a part of this event on March 10th, this Diamonds in the Rough, this this high school combine to get notice. Tell us about your affiliation with that and what role are you going to have in this?
Well, I was brought in by C.J. Jones.
Yep.
And he brought me this idea of the Diamonds in the Rough, which is a camp/combine that kids are doing up and down, not just California, but all over the country. And the thought was, why not bring that here to the valley? We've never had that here in the valley, specifically for our kids in this area.
Right.
You know, not saying that we won't get kids from other areas, but specifically for the kids in this area who are, like it's, who are Diamonds in the Rough. Kids who haven't got a lot of exposure but can really play at a high level.
And you played and you coach at a institution, Edison High School, where there's a lot of interest from parents and players. Like, Coach, how do I – the game, I can't get noticed. Why does the kid over at that school have three stars? I don't have a star yet. So you clearly understand that getting this type of event on, getting the word out as we're doing on radio, and we're going to do continually until the event is over, and we'll continue to do it, trying to teach our audience about the vehicle you have to travel on to get into that world, because it is, it's rather unique. I mean, it's not something that, you know, everyone hears about going off to get the scout camp, or you get invited to the Nike camps and all that. And if you're fortunate enough to go all the way back to Oregon, you get to see the best of America go at it in 7-on-7 and other drills. But out here, for those diamonds in a rough, that's what this event is really built towards, correct?
Right.
So will you be on the field helping assist drills, or what other role will you play?
Well, yeah, I'll be on the field helping assist drills, and me and a couple of other guys will be walking around evaluating talent.
Right on.
Evaluating talent and seeing where guys stack.
You also mentioned C.J. Jones. Kind of always a man, in my opinion, that's always, for the most part, worked behind the scenes, doing events everywhere from entertainment to sports events and doing all that. CJ's close to me because he went to high school down in San Diego in the area of the city that I grew up in. And he went to Lincoln High School, i.e. famous, made famous by several great athletes. The last guy I played with at USC, Marcus Allen. CJ's a pretty special individual, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I sometimes you look at him, you think, is he LL Cool J, or is he strong bodybuilder type? But he was also the my closest link, clearly, to my good friend, and God bless Tony Perry. And it's good to see that there's people like CJ and others out there that are continuing on this quest to make sure that the Central Valley never gets left behind. So I admire that. We're going to take a break. Now, please stay there. We're going to introduce Ricky Manny Jr. into this discussion, which is going to be a lot of fun, to another outstanding Edison Tiger and truly a Super Bowl participant, all-pro football player, Ricky Manny Jr. But we'll get to that after we do this with our messages. You're listening to 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs.
Welcome back. We are live here at Fashion Furniture. Love Fashion Furniture. You should love them, too. They are definitely down with helping community, helping our sports programs throughout our community, and more importantly, putting out some of the finest furniture collections with the greatest quality, deals always going on here. Get your financing, everything you need, one-stop shop right here, Fashion Furniture. Thank you, Fashion Furniture, for continually support our local athletic programs. Also, I want to thank Firehouse Subs, our food sponsor, who's been with us for a while now, and they also believe strongly in community, athletic, and after-school programs. If you have an event coming up and you need it catered and you want to kick a little bit extra money back to your program, call up Firehouse Subs. Complete your catering with Firehouse Subs, and they'll write you a check back for proceeds back to your specific event. It doesn't have to be just football, basketball, softball. It could be band. It could be any after-school program. Firehouse Subs is there for your pleasure. Right at this point, I'd like to bring in the two callers. I also just got into the studio. The one and only Mr. Ricky Manning Jr. is here, so he'll be online with us. We'll begin to have the discussion. But right now, I'd like to introduce Ryan Wright and Mr. Emin Preston, who is organizing the San Diego, this event that's coming here. Welcome, guys.
How you doing today?
Oh, we're doing well. We both have you online. I'd like to start with Ryan Wright. Welcome to the show. Ryan, tell us a little about what you've done and how you help facilitate the exposure that these young student-athletes so much need, and obviously you've been doing this a while. Tell us about that, Ryan. You got Ryan, do we got him, Russ?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you now, Ryan.
Got me now. Okay. Yeah, what I was saying.
Your phone is, Ryan, I think your phone's a little light. Don't want to accuse you of having a cheap phone, but your phone is not coming in very clearly. Are you there now, Ryan?
I'll talk louder.
There, perfect. Yes, okay. Perfect, Ryan.
So what I was saying, a couple years ago, I started my site, which was recruitingnewsguru.com, and the whole goal was to try to help players across the country with being from L.A., with California being the foothold, if you will, but helping these kids that are three-star or under-the-radar kids that are not getting exposure. And the way that it seemed to me, unless a Power 5 school was recruiting a kid, No other recruits were getting any sort of exposure, and so there was this big void that was left. with what I do, Emin and CJ came to me and, hey, we have these ideas for camps to try to help these kids get exposure. And it just seemed like a perfect fit for what I do with my writing and interviews and bringing exposure to kids, and then taking that to a camp combine where these same type of kids are not being invited to Nike. They're not being invited to Under Armour. So now we're giving them the opportunity to get out there, get their 40 ran,
yes,
have a video on them, all sorts of stuff, but bring that exposure to them that they're not getting from the other big national camps.
And Ryan, first of all, thank you so much for making that connection, not only with CJ, but to help bring a person of your ability and to our valley for this event. It's going to be spectacular. Now, there's going to be photos, and you're going to help attach a ranking to these student athletes. Is that correct?
Right. So our experts, if you will, the NFL guys, that they're going to do their evaluation. So all of the coaches that are there for the given positions will basically be given cards and allowed to do their evaluations on the kids, and that will serve as part of the recruiting rankings. We will do diamond rankings instead of star rankings, if you will.
Nice.
But also this information, because I am NCAA certified, can then be given to college coaches so that they can use that as part of their scouting service.
I think that is a much-needed service. I started something long ago with Tony Perry, just in infant stages. And then when Tony passed, I wanted to make sure that was kept alive, that all colleges, whether I'm coaching a school currently right now, that's not about winning football games, but I like to keep my tabs on all the student athletes in our valley so they have an opportunity when the colleges come. They still visit with me from the database that Tony Perry helped create, and I continue to build onto that. We now know that when we call these coaches with some information, that they don't think it's some lunatic high school coach like probably a few of us out there that believe that our kid's the best kid. They get realistic, real, valuable, 100% evidence, not just something that's coming because you have a dog in the race, if you will. And I think what you guys do is fabulous, because these colleges call, and they don't have, some of these colleges don't have an extreme budget where they can hit every high school. They need to know the pockets so they can focus energy. Is that really the backbone of what you help supply?
I believe so. Just based off of Twitter, talking to other kids, parents, coaches, with what I do with the interviews and the way I go about my interviews, I try to make it where it's layered, where the casual fan will find it interesting. The college football coaches can retrieve information, and then parents, family across the country, you know, will enjoy reading about their loved one. But the way I go about my interviews is primarily talking about their play on the field, what they're working on, that sort of stuff. When it comes to actual recruiting questions, I don't harp on their all-time favorite schools or how they feel about this school or that school. That just is a simple listing. But what I really want to do is try to help expose or bring to light what they're doing, how hard they're working, where they feel that their game is at, that sort of stuff. And if we can do that at the camps and through the site, then hopefully more college coaches will become aware of different kids they may not have known about. Just put out a big thing on the site earlier about top California players that are still unsigned, uncommitted from yesterday. So that exposure, that commitment to helping kids above and beyond is what I do every day. And I'm so excited about what we're doing with the camps and combines. I really do believe that we can change and affect lives in a positive way for years to come, and not only help realize a dream or a goal of playing college football, but getting that degree and what that can do for a family, what that can do for a community for years to come.
Absolutely. Well said, Ryan. We're speaking with Ryan Wright, and we're going to bring in Emin Preston here in just one second. But, Ryan, I'd like to tell you, I call you the idol maker. And the idol maker is helping. Well, you're helping facilitate dreams of young kids. And that's really half the battle, is making sure that these kids have a place to go or someone that can help them, whether they end up utilizing the best of their talents and becoming the highest character and great individual, but getting to college and having an opportunity to go to college is That's really what it's all about. Ryan, hold the line. We'll come back to you. But I'd like to introduce Emin Preston, a camp organizer, has an event that he does down in San Diego. Emin, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Excellent. Mr. Preston, tell us a little bit about your affiliation and what you're doing right now.
Okay, so the affiliation that we have, obviously, we'll be holding Camp Combine Series up and down the state of California, as
yes.
well as the tri-state area in Nevada and Arizona as well, okay? So I'm here in San Diego. I'm one of the facilitators of a camp in the Southern California region. We'll be in L.A. area, i.e., and San Diego as well. That's where I come in C.J. Jones. As you guys already know, is a big mentor across the whole state. And like you said, he's from San Diego originally. He's a,
yes.
he's a big uncle to me and is a positive person in my life. So that's how I got involved. And I also do the same thing with the kids. And the exposure is definitely needed up and down the coast and all over, actually, because there's diamond and roughs everywhere. So that's how I came into it. And like Ryan said, we came to him. I actually work all of the camps that you listed, the UAs, the Nikes, the Rivals. And I had to talk to my guy, Dane Clark, who runs the camp for Rivals. And I said, Dane, man, there's a lot of kids. They're not getting invited, you know. I got a guy right here, Shamar Martin. He ended up a four-star, but his offers didn't get invited to any of those camps last year. But I was telling them all about him, all the writers. So then we came to Brandon we came to Ryan, and I talked to Ryan, and we were just basically talking about and brainstorming ideas of how we can get these guys the exposure, and we came up with the diamond in the rough, and it's basically the greatest thing to hit youth sports and high school sports, to get those exposures to all those kids like you had already addressed.
Yeah, that's beautiful, Emin. And give us a little vibe of, I'm a young kid, I show up at the camp, from seed to sale, if you will, from the beginning of the camp to the end, what's expected of me and what goes on at the camp?
Well, first of all, what's expected of you is to come and work hard, first of all. The exposure is just not going to be given to you. You're going to come work for it. That's the first and foremost thing. But what you will come in, you will be preparing, checking in, okay? We'll be having two different check-ins, wave. First wave will be for the linemen to go and do their camp and combine, and then they'll go into their break, okay? And then we'll bring in the skills positions. They'll do the same thing, go into their break. Then we'll come in and do one-on-ones and all those position-specific drills with the appropriate coaches. And then we'll link up and go into a 7-on-7, and we'll bring in something new to the camp series. And you got to be there to see it, man. It's called 9-on-9. So we're just trying to be innovative in everything that we do and get these guys a look.
Right. And when you get through, do you come away with a glove or a T-shirt, or do the kids get gear like when you do these other camps?
Oh, definitely. This is what's going to happen. Definitely everybody that is a participant, they will have the best gear provided by Two-Tone Athletic and Apparel. The jerseys are one of the sweetest things I've seen with the whole state of California on it. That will be revealed shortly today after we get off the radio. They will receive that. And also every position that is an MVP will receive a swag bag as well as a trophy.
And
they will be invited to the Big Bang.
There you go. It's kind of like the high-level competitors, the kids that are really, really getting it done, there'll be groups that get invited to the Big Bang.
Yes, sir. Now, that's not just in here in California. Like I said, we'll be hosting camp combines in Nevada as well as Arizona. And then we'll link up and we'll do it just like Nike and UA are doing it for all of their top guys. All of the top diamond guys will be invited to the L.A. area at Saddleback College for a weekend of learning experience and exposure.
We're visiting with Emin Preston, who's one of the organizers of Diamonds in the Rough. That clinic or camp, combine, is coming to our Fresno market. It'll be at Edison High School March 10th. It's going to be a big one. Ryan, if you're still on the line, let me ask you, when they're done with the camp, do these kids go online and find out how they did, or is there a measuring stick at the end of all this they get to look at?
Yes, as Emin was saying, so we've come up with some play on the words based off of the diamond in the rough. So we have our flawless diamonds, if you will, the top camp performers, and then the kids that are maybe the second tier of that are the certified diamonds. And so, again, that's part of the scouting process that I spoke to earlier with each one of our coaches writing up and giving their evaluations on the kids. Then on the website, we'll have that ranking and evaluations for all to see.
Beautiful. Well, on behalf of ESPN, local here, Central Valley, and everyone in our valley, we thank you so much, Mr. Ryan Wright, for what you do and your writing and your techniques that you deliver to the party to help gain exposure. And, of course, Mr. Emin Preston, for your – I don't want to accuse anyone of doing one or the other things, but it sounds to me like you're the boots on the ground and you're physically getting out there and making this thing go. So we really appreciate you, Emin, and we look forward to seeing you. Now, we're going to promote this all the way through, all through March on this deal, so I'm sure we'll have another chance to speak with you. Thank you guys so much for joining the show.
Thank you for
supporting Diamond in the Rough.
You bet. Diamonds in the Rough. We will definitely always support. As we get ready to go to commercial, I'd let you know that Ricky Manning Jr. is now in studio. He's all wired in. So when we come off this break, you're going to get a chance to hear a real insight to not just high school life, professional life, the camps that he's been a part of, and how he's coming back always. He's in our community, always giving back to these young kids, helping them achieve all that they can. We'll be back. This is a great show. Please do not turn that dial. You're listening to 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs.
Welcome back live. I'm Matt Johnson. Filling in on the seat closest to the switchboard here instead of Nick Papagni. He is going to be calling in about 1:15 from Memphis. A little Memphis, Tennessee action. He was at the Grizzlies game the other night. He was out at the Super Bowl. He's done a lot of things on his pagmeter.com quest to build his website. It's great stuff. But I'm here live, Fashion Furniture. Thank you, Fashion Furniture, for all you do. Firehouse Subs, digging into a turkey sandwich right now. Had the hook and ladder earlier. I'm digging into everything. But it gives me great pleasure and really an honor to introduce the next guest here, and he's going to bring us up to the latest and greatest things are happening, not only in his life, but what he's doing with the kids, with the Diamonds and the Rough organization and everything else. We're talking and visiting now with Ricky Manning Jr. Welcome to the show, Ricky.
Thanks for having me, Matt. Appreciate
you. Oh, God, yeah. I mean, I go way back. Before you even knew who I was, I go way back. Watching and enjoying your play on the field as a youth coming up, and then, of course, your action at Edison High School, which led you to UCLA, where it really got exciting. And then, of course, professional football with Chicago Bears. You won a Super Bowl, which, by the way, Cliff Rold, your great baseball coach, my great friend, your great friend, what a treat. I remember sitting at Edison High School, and Cliff was so excited. He was going back to the Super Bowl, you know, thanks to you. Mm-hmm. And Cliff's not feeling so well right now. We give him our best, and hopefully he comes out and everything's okay with his throat. But anyway, not to get off the subject, but yeah. Ricky, you made an impact on a lot of people's lives. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Definitely. Pleasure.
So tell me, we'll start with the biggest thing that just happened, the Super Bowl. You were at a party with friends, or where were you at for the Super Bowl?
You know what? I was at the house with family, at my in-law's house, and we were just kicking back with all the kids and a couple of friends and just watching the game.
Yeah. Did you have a?
I mean, we had some food, of course, you know it, but it was real low key. Yeah.
Did you have an interest in one way or the other how it turned out?
I always root for the NFC because I've always been an NFC guy as a player and as a coach. I'm thinking time. I thought they could blow them out, you know, just because. Look, they did the Kansas City just a couple of weeks before that, you know, like they're
playing. Yeah, at some point they might figure this out.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, and again, they took the sixth Super Bowl, you know, so it wasn't a shock.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as a longtime NFL veteran, I know it's different. I remember having a lot of discussions with Tim McDonald about this. It's different. He looks at the games a little differently, or when he bumps into one of the great players, he sometimes, you're in that world.
Yeah.
And when you see Todd Gurley, the great running back for the Rams, who I just have not ever witnessed him do anything that made me think he's the greatest. But apparently the league, the people in that business feel that he's either one or two every year. He's the guy. But I haven't seen it. Have you witnessed anything that stands out like, boy, he's Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, he's pretty special.
Yeah.
He is pretty special. Just size and speed and ability. The last 2 years, his performance has been great. Ever since McVay got there, even before, you know, he was okay.
Yeah.
But in the offense now, he just excels at it, just like Jared Goff.
Yep.
But I mean, yeah, he's a superstar. You know, no doubt about that.
Yeah.
The last couple of games, he didn't play as well. Injuries, you know, that stuff happens. But that kid, 100% healthy, is one of the best.
Right on. Well, we're at the Super Bowl level with Ricky Manning Jr. We're going to be right back and start taking us through Edison High School, onto UCLA, his professional football time, playing in the Super Bowl, coaching now, been in Seattle. You've been everywhere coaching and doing your thing. Love your career to this point. I mean, there's a life of experiences in there. I can't forward to visiting with Ricky Manning Jr. more. When we come back after this commercial break, you're listening to 940 ESPN. We'll be back.
Valley. It's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Rise here from Fashion Furniture. Thank you so much for all you do, Fashion Furniture. You are definitely not only the leader of this industry, but you're the leader of your commitment to our valley. Thank you, Fashion Furniture. I want to thank Firehouse Subs. Just finished off my lunch. A lot of great people in the studio audience today, and they're enjoying Firehouse Subs. You should, too. Go check out your local Firehouse Subs. Two locations here, Fresno, Clovis. Help them help you, because they will give money back to your local high school athletics programs. Visiting now with Ricky Manning Jr. Talked a little about Ricky from the Super Bowl standpoint, but I'd like to dig into your time as a youngster growing up, and how and what path or vehicle was afforded you to get all this exposure. Was it just simply what you did on game day and baseball and football and everything you did, or how did you get recruited?
Yeah, the day before social media and Huddle and all the internet sensation exposure, YouTube and all that good stuff, that was my time. And like you said, it was on weekends. It was coaches had to get out and they had to really go evaluate and find talent. And it was a lot more trick work for them. So, I mean, we had some camps coming up, especially early. Like now, you have all kinds of camps. Kids can start at junior high level. Kendall Milton's been exposed nationally for a long time now before he's in high school. But we didn't have that. And once we got to high school, then they started doing more camps. We didn't have 707 and any of that stuff, but we did have bigger camps up and down California that allowed us to get exposure in all-star games like the Shrine Game and the California versus Florida all-star game that kind of get you exposure towards top talent kids. But that was it. It was what you did on Friday night. You know, what you did on Friday night is word of mouth. It was the relationships you built, the relationships that certain college recruiters built throughout the Central Valley to know where these kids are at, you know. Yeah. And that's kind of what happened to me. And for me, it was a local tie, you know. As in UCLA, Kelly Skipper was there.
Yes.
You know, a Fresno State guy who knew about the Valley and you know, kind of knew the same people I knew. So it was a good tie there.
Now, when you started your high school football career, did the coach just say, "Here, I got a good idea. Here's the ball. You're my guy. You're my quarterback," right? You were arguably, and someone was saying, it wasn't me, was saying the other day that, you know, there's a McKay Christensen, who's Clovis West. Of course, you know about Rafer Johnson and Bob Mathias and the decathlon world champion, gold medalists and all that. But you're considered one of those top best athletes ever to come out of our valley. And playing quarterback with that skill set, That's when I got exposed to Ricky Manning, was going to games with fellow alumni that were more my age of Tigers but became my good friends, and we got to see number nine running around doing his thing. Was quarterback just something they said, you're the guy, or did you say, I want to be the quarterback?
You know what? It was just kind of something I fell into, you know, as a youth, you know, even playing in Edison Pop Warner.
Right.
I started out playing running back and free safety.
Yeah.
And then I went to quarterback. You know, I don't even know the transition. Yeah. It was just like, hey, I can do that. And it worked out to be what it was, you know, and had some great coaches and utilized my skill set and had surrounded by great players. You know, we had a good foundation. So that allowed success.
Well, as an ex-player myself, I'd look at the games, and I'm always evaluating. Or, you know, I don't have a team to recruit for necessarily, but I'm looking and let me see what this guy's got. And I think, yeah, he can move. He's a hell of an athlete. I don't know if he could ever throw. And then you rattled off, rolling to your left, and threw across your body, across the middle on a strike. You know, 15 yards downfield. You had the arm talent. Was that something as a kid? You threw the ball around a lot, or did you just weren't gifted with a strong arm?
You know, I don't know if it was. I didn't throw it around a lot. You know, maybe from baseball.
Yeah.
You throw a lot in that, but it was just something that I mean. What I equate to it is funny because that we're doing this interview because last night at church, we had church service, you know, worship service, and I was just thinking about my life and kind of, you know, how I was blessed to have the skill sets and succeed and go on to college and go on to pro, and how God has favored my life. And I was thinking about it because you don't think about it as a person, but how much work was put in.
Yeah.
You know, I started thinking about the path that I could have took.
Yes.
I started thinking about the discipline I had to have to stay straight, to go right, not left, you know, or even to go right and have grace, you know,
not let it
take me out. And, you know, just the amount of work that went into it, you know, that God installed in me to keep going and keep pushing.
Yeah.
I used to run to the high school, you know, for a workout and then run back home. Like, stuff like that I'm thinking about. Like, I don't even know why I did that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know why it was put in me, you know. And I remember being a sophomore and having Adnoff Harris and Tyree Sams and all these fast dudes. And at the end of practices, I'm running with these guys in winning sprints. I'm trying to be in the front at every one of them. I don't know what it was that was inside of me that got me to keep pushing. But I know that whatever it was, that spirit was the reason why I was able to succeed. The reason why I was able to play corner in the NFL at 5'9 and have success is that extra push and drive inside of me that God blessed with me. And I was just thinking about that last night, like, man, the work, you know, the work to go to college. You know how hard it is to play Division I football and then go to school. You know, and those workouts, those two-hour workouts, then go to class. Like, all those things that a lot of athletes are fortunate enough to experience.
So, really, what you're talking about, Ricky Manning Jr., we're visiting with, one of the greatest athletes ever graced this valley. Unbelievable talent, but you're a competitor. And a lot of us are competitors, but we didn't necessarily have a trigger to put our finger on and say, mm-hmm. because of this or because of that. I think God gives everyone a certain level of that. But I truly believe that God gives that gift to others a little differently. And then that athlete is aware that they have this talent, and rather than just do it when they think it's time to turn it on, they want to get even better.
Yeah.
So you're one of those rare cases where you had a blend of all that perfect athleticism, minus potentially the size, although your upper body, you've always looked at me, and I said, dude, I always told Tim McDonald, that dude is a 245-pound outside pass rush guy with a defensive back lower body. He's the most amazing-looking dude.
Top heavy, baby.
Yeah. But you had that drive, clearly, and it led you in the National Football League. And one year, you led the league in interceptions. I remember looking like, that dude's got, like, more picks than most people have in a career, which led you to heights, to certain levels that I thought were just spectacular. But then you got the coaching bug. And you did the circuit of high school. And tell us about your Seattle Seahawks experience, because I love Seattle.
Yeah, no, I left. It was fun coaching for the U.S. Seahawks.
Yes.
Because that's what it was with Pete Carroll and all those Trojans in the building. I got heckled every day. But I held my own.
Yeah.
No, but it was amazing, man, being around great coaches.
Yeah.
I remember when I first got there, in 2016 and in off season when no players are there, not until April. It was just all ball.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember Pete would come in the room and Christian Sharp never get on the board, and I felt like I was getting my master's in football.
Yeah.
Just watching these guys just going over different schemes and what New England was doing, what this team was doing, what we did last year. It was amazing.
Yeah.
But the biggest part I got from Pete is just the energy.
Energy.
You know, the energy, the level of enthusiasm daily, the pouring into coaches and players, you know, try to win every day, making yourself better.
Yep.
Developmental program, developing players.
Yep.
They did with the Legion of Boom,
yep.
Like Chris Rashard did and Pete Carroll did, and also developing coaches. You know, and that's one thing I appreciated, because coming in as a young coach, you know, I don't know everything. You know,
do you like that approach? An example would be, and I don't know this because I've never been in a New England Patriots locker room, but I know Pete Carroll and I know what you're talking about. And Pete would present himself to me personally, and then watching from my own eyes, as a disciplinarian, but a real family, you feel the coach's coach, that relationship thing.
Yeah.
With players and coach. He's a player's coach. Where looks like Belichick's a little bit more, you know, hey, you know, he's not going to go out and be that guy for you, but he's going to tell you how to get it done, and you're going to respect him and do it. Are you? What's your brand, and what do you like more, and how do you like to coach?
I like to be myself. I'm a people guy.
People,
you know, so I yep. love on people.
Yep.
Just like yourself,
yep.
you know. Just love on people, love helping people.
Right.
Love doing all you can. But also too, you know, you gotta also put that foot down, you know,
yep.
I'm tough. You know,
yep.
I'm tough, I go hard. It's 10 toes down, it's nonstop, you know, you get what you emphasize.
Yep.
I'm a firm believer in that. I definitely love the way Pete Carroll coaches and approaches the game.
So is that your backbone as far as, like, when CJ calls or someone calls to talk about things like this Diamonds in the Rough event?
It's
that
yes.
you're there. If I'm in town, I'm
it's
in.
Yes.
I'm in. I want to get
yes.
back. I'll help where I can.
Whatever you want to do, let's do it. I'm in.
Yeah.
You
and your role with the Diamonds in the Rough, are you going to be out on the field evaluating? Which
yeah, gonna, yeah, yeah. I know we're going to talk about what it's going to be. We're going to get into the specifics of it. But I know for sure I'm going to be – I'm gonna have cliques.
Yep, yep.
And I'm gonna be out there on the field,
yep, right on.
And we're gonna be going.
Yeah,
you know, it's a camp for exposure, all right, and not just exposure to these writers and to these college coaches, which that's awesome, but it's also exposure for some of these kids that haven't seen some of the top talent in the state.
Yep.
Also, too, is exposure. It's coaching exposure.
Yep.
You know, be taught by some of the best to do it. You know, some guys have been at a high level. That's going to raise the bar in your teaching. So it's exposure in several ways, and I'm excited about it. I'm excited
about
it.
Well, good. Well, you stay with us right now, because we're going to introduce one of your fellow partners, alumni. Obviously, I coached with a lot of great people, and I've all got a chance to coach a lot of great talent. And obviously, this young man is on the line. We introduce Mr. Robert Golden, NFL, ex-Pittsburgh Steeler, Arizona Wildcat, Edison Tiger. Welcome to the show, Robert.
Man, thanks for having me, man. How you doing?
Oh, always, man. It's best to see you. You're the most bubbly, smiley dude I've ever met. You always have a good demeanor about you. Thank you so much.
No
I'll
doubt.
I'll get right to the chase. Where are you calling from, Robert?
Man, I'm here at my house in Scottsdale, Arizona right now.
Excellent. God, you picked the right spot. That is it. Scottsdale. Are you golfing now? What are you doing?
Definitely. You know, I still told you, man, we got to get out there on the course one day. But, you know, I still got to knock a little rust off my game, but I'm there.
Oh, that is so awesome, man. Hey, so you're going to come into town for this Diamonds in the Rough event?
Yes, man. I've been hearing a lot of good things about this opportunity, you know, just to give kids, you know, that chance that they need, you know, to get some exposure. So, you know, anything that I can do, you know, to help our community and help guys, you know, try to reach their ultimate goal of just being successful in life. You know, if I can have some type of input in that, then definitely, you know, I'm always open and willing to come out there to Fresno and be a part of something special.
Well, Robert Golden, who we're visiting with right now, Scottsdale, Arizona, but you had a great career with the Pittsburgh Steelers. What are you doing right now, Rob?
Man, you know, I'm definitely still, you know, training right now.
Good.
You know, I like to say there's still meat on the bone for me to continue to play. So I'm definitely going to continue to play until, you know, my body tells me not to. But for the meantime, you know, just been doing a little bit of networking with the Pac-12 Network, doing some broadcasting type stuff like that. And, you know, trying to take up after your footsteps, Matt, and do the little radio interview deals and all that stuff, man. So staying around the game, but also, you know, still training and getting ready for my next opportunity.
Now, when you see what's happening with the Arizona Wildcats, where you played college football, Robert Golden, do you like what you see?
Right. Man, definitely. You know, I feel like the program is moving in the right direction. I know we got a guy from Fred Snow, Edison High School, heading up to the U of A this semester. So, you know, I definitely believe Kevin Selman got the program going in the right direction. But, you know, at the end of the day, they got to get out there and do it on Saturdays. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do this year.
Well, I don't get a chance to brag all that much as I'd like to, about certain individuals. But for you, Robert, I would tell all the listening audience that you're a story, and we don't have a lot of time to go into depth. But when you come back in town for this, we'll talk more, and we'll get you on air live here in the studio at Fashion Furniture.
No.
But, Robert, you're really, truly a self-made, spectacular football player. I mean, it wasn't like everyone gave you everything. You went out and earned it. You earned it in the league, in the National Football League. You earned it to get to Arizona. You were obviously well-recruited, but you didn't mean that you were going to have to become the starter and do all the different things at corner and safety. But you did that.
Right.
What's the one trait that you could pass on to our listeners that allowed you to become the man that you are today?
You know, I'll just give it a testament, you know, to my upbringing. You know, one thing about my family, man, they always drove into me that, you know, hard work, you know, beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. And that was just one thing that, you know, my parents instilled in me, is just, you know, continue to work. You know, a lot of people going to doubt you in life. A lot of things are not going to go the way that you want them to go, but God always has a plan. And I'm just thankful for the plan that he had for me, you know, throughout my life. And, you know, looking forward to seeing what's next for me.
Right on, Robert Golden. When you come back in town, obviously I'll check you. I'll get to see you. We'll check you out, take you out to dinner and the guys, and we'll relive old times. I'd love to spend more time. We're getting ready to take a commercial break, and I'd hate to put you through hanging on the line for the next segment. We're almost finished here. But, Robert Golden, for all you do, we salute you. The Valley salutes you, and we look forward to seeing you when you come out for the Diamonds in the Rough Combine.
Matt, sounds good, Matt. I look forward to seeing you as well.
Thank you so much, Robert Golden. We're going to take a break. We'll be back, and we'll get ready to finish this up. But thank you, Robert Golden. Thank you, all of the guests. I'll talk about that a little bit more when we get back from the break. You're listening to 940 ESPN. We'll be back.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs.
Back live here at Fashion Furniture. I'm Matt Johnson. This is The Rise with Nick Papagni. Nick is on location, as he likes to call it, in Memphis, Tennessee, taking in the Tennessee Volunteers and seeing what they look like on paper, how they did in their recruiting. I think they did very well. They're now back in the relevant picture of being a top five, top ten program. But Nick Papagni, are you online?
Matty J, how are you, kid? Everything is good over there. Holding the fort down.
This might be the first time I've heard your voice in about 3 weeks. What in the world are you doing?
Oh, well, I mean, it's, you know, the Super Bowl time. I'm doing the Super Bowl thing.
Oh,
the Pack Gator was one location. I was doing the some recruiting on the other side of it with my website. Got a lot of awards because there's not a lot of local people around the country doing websites anymore for high school. So I was, it was kind of fun to learn.
Well, you're here. You missed this. I've got Atnoff Harris, Ricky Manning Jr., C.J. Jones is in the house. I just got done talking to Robert Golden. Now Dr. Fred steps up to the microphone. We are having a heck of a show based around this Diamonds in the Rough program that's coming up March 10th. It'll be at Edison High School, which is going to be the greatest scouting combine I think that's ever hit our valley. And we've had some good ones. You were there with Jim Harbaugh and a few guys 1 year.
Well, Matt, and you also started a tremendous Hall of Fame at Edison, and I think someone dropped the ball. Charles Young, I believe, was the first Edison Tiger to go in. If there's a school in the Valley that has to get going with a Hall of Fame dinner, it's got to be the Edison Tigers.
Definitely has to be the Edison Tigers. When you sit around, and I'm just marveled, and like I said, Atnoff came in, outstanding wide receiver, professional football player, played at Fresno State. And then, of course, comes in Ricky Manning. We already know about my old partner, Tim McDonald, and all the great ones that have come through. And then I forget, you know, there's Robert Golden sitting in Scottsdale, Arizona right now. He'll be coming to town for this event. I don't know, but when I grew up, you're lucky to bump into one National Football League alumni of one high school. That's like a miracle. These guys are coming from everywhere to come back and give back to this great town of Fresno and helping the kids. This is just a great, great time I'm having with these great athletes.
You know, and Fred Clark will tell you that, you know, Edison had some great teams. Your 2014 team will compete against the undefeated 1975 Edison Tigers at 1969. You had some great teams, so there's some Hall of Fame. And whoever's listening now, get the ball rolling again with the Edison Tigers Hall of Fame, because I just mentioned three teams right there, and just tremendous talent out there.
Oh, there's no question. The only thing I know, because I wasn't around, obviously, in the 70s here to witness all that, but everybody who tells me, if I could ever coach an Edwin Conway, I think I might hang another banner, and I'll do it at Madera South. I mean, Edwin Conway, I think he, Fred, help me out, I think he was on that 75 team, correct?
Edwin
Conway
was on
that, yes.
He was the best high school football player I've ever seen in my life, and he was far and away from between him and number two. He was just an amazing talent.
Well, yeah, Matt, we played in the rain against the Edison Tigers. I played against Ed Conway, and he never got dirty. It was pouring rain in Clay Stadium. We couldn't get him dirty, so that'll tell you what kind of night he had. City County game, he had 190-something yards about 3 minutes before the half. Somebody from the county tackled him on the track at Edison, and he threw his helmet at the player, and he got kicked out of the game. He would have shattered any record in the City County game. There was no chance that the county were going to tackle Ed Conway that night.
Yeah, and what you failed to also mention is that he did all that, and he had like six carries in the first half for 197. And if he would have played in the second half, he would have ran for over 400 yards in an All-Star game.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Ed Conway.
All I know is yeah. Well, Bill, before I say, we all remember Billy Sims, from the Oklahoma Sooners. Well, Barry Switzer said you would have never heard of Mr. Sims if Conway would have went to Oklahoma. That's how good he was. But he had some personal issues that just didn't make, you know, get that far. But that's how good he was.
Well, Edwin Conway, the most amazing high school football play I've ever seen. They were in a scoreless tie with Clovis, and Nick, this game was also at McLean Stadium. It was early in the second half, and he took a handoff, and it was like a blur, something like you'd see animated on TV, and three Clovis guys all had angles on him, and he blew past all three of them. He went about 60 yards for a touchdown. Edison wins the game 21-0. And that one play, it was like, am I on some type of drug? Did I just see that?
Yeah.
And it was just an amazing play.
Yeah, you know, yeah. There's an old method in coaching and in football and everything else, but it always comes back to one thing. You give me the Ed Conway, and I don't care what scheme I'm running, just make sure he gets the ball. And that's kind of how it was with another little Tiger there, Mr. Clifton Smith Jr. You remember Cliff Smith? He was another one of those guys you could visit him in a phone booth and you couldn't get hands on him. And the guy was that elusive. But special players. Dr. Fred Clark is here. He's going to take you guys along with Nick. You're going to take it to the end of the show. But I did want to say before I leave a couple of thanks to C.J. Jones, the Diamonds in the Rough. Nick, as soon as you get back in town this weekend, we'll talk more about how we're going to promote this thing all the way up to March. I want to make this be the biggest single event attraction for our local high school football talent to make sure they're there. So, you know, we can start developing a ranking system where we have the ability to attract more attention to our great football players in Central Valley. That's coming. And then, of course, Nick, I want to thank you for still living, because I was beginning to wonder if I'd ever, ever have another sidekick on the radio show, because
We actually need each other,
and I want to thank you, everybody. But, hey, Nick, Fred, take it from here, and look forward to seeing you when you get back, Nick.
Great job, Matt Johnson. Hey, Fred, another Ed Connolly before we go was playing Edison Tigers, Bullard Knights, and I hate to throw my buddy Darren Hill under the bus, but Darren Hill, defensive back for the Bullard Knights, and it was a sweep coming right at him. Darren had the angle just to shove him out of bounds. But somehow Ed Conway got down the sidelines and went for an 89-yarder. And he's on the sidelines, and our old coach, Darren Justice, was there. Hey, Darren, come here! And I'll never forget this because I was standing right there. Darren, this summer, instead of riding in the car with mommy, do some night walking on your own. And we never understood what that meant. We couldn't figure it out. But that was the, instead of saying, hey, get better angle, that's all Coach Justice said. Can you figure out what that means?
No, I can't figure that out at all. And it's difficult to get an angle on somebody that you just can't angle. And
yeah.
Something else with Conway, Nick, is he just wasn't small. And when he was a senior, I think he was, 6'2", maybe 210. And
220,
he had the frame
yeah.
Yeah, he could have put
He's probably
more.
26 years old, but we don't know what he was back then. But he just was a super talented guy. There's no doubt about it.
And he could block. He could come out of the backfield. There wasn't anything he couldn't do on the football field. And I know Switzer was in town personally to recruit him, and I think they stashed him down at Santa Monica College, and things didn't work out there at Fresno State. And it's just a shame because what a talent he was. It was just a pleasure to watch somebody like that.
Yeah, he also had his sidekick, Stephen Woods. He was pretty dang good as well.
Well,
he went to Fresno State for a while.
Yeah, and Woods played at Fresno State. I think he graduated out there, played the whole time, and he didn't have some of the baggage maybe Edwin had. And
no.
He was another one. They were kind of like the Blanchard and Davis that Army had back in the World War II days that nobody listening to the show would have any idea what I'm talking about.
Well, Fred, switching gears here, this weekend we got basketball playoff seedings are coming out, just like soccer coming out. And the problem I have, and I get a lot of emails, I want to pick Fred Clark's brain because it's just like football. They have the coaches poll. And so the CIF has decided we're going to go with the coaches, what they say. And if there's a tie, we'll look at the max preps and all that. But there's now, we have Central Coast teams in our area. And there's a lot of teams, a lot of, around here that hasn't seen Paso Robles play or Arroyo Grande play or San Luis Obispo, or you can go on and on, Morro Bay or St. Joseph. How in the world are these coaches supposed to tell me or tell them how good the Central Coast is and vice versa? Do we need to change that format of picking playoff seedings?
Well, I can't tell you as much with basketball, but it's probably the same thing. You and I have discussed we've discussed this for years on football seeding, and the solutions that you and I have are not going to be implemented. Let's just be clear with that right off the get going. I really don't know. You know, you get 20 coaches in there, and they're all pulling in 20 different directions. The coaches want their team to get the best possible seed all the way through. And they can be very middle of the road and honest when it comes to all their other teams, but their own, we have a bunch of special interests, so how do you gain on something like that?
Well, that's the new way they're doing it now, Fred, is a coach will list his top 10 or top 16 in their bracket. So he'll list his team, and then CIF will look at, what Team A has picked in. Oh, it's like, so it looks like Clovis West got 21 votes out of their, however you want to do it, 15 votes. So they'll be the number one seed, and they're going to go that route. I just don't know if that's good anymore. If a lot of these schools don't see the other schools play, how do they know? They just go by either the PAC meter rankings or the max preps rankings. I think we got to relook at this. That's all I'm trying to get at. I think something's got to change.
Well, I always like your rankings. I haven't been to many high school basketball games. I'm not a big basketball junkie at the high school level or wrestling. I got thrown into this one kind of cold. However, I'm aware that Jalen Green's one of the top basketball players in the country, and Vance Wahlberg might be the top high school basketball coach in the country. And right now, it's pretty easy to pick Clovis West as number one. And, Nick, even the coaches in Arroyo Grande and Paso Robles, they know enough about the top programs. I mean, they're favoring their own team, of course, but they're not stupid. And,
well, let's take a quick break, Fred. We're going to come back and talk about this. We're going to talk Paul Goler is now the Garces Rams coach. Anything else is on Fred Clark's mind. We'll be taking a break. We'll come back. You're listening live at Fashion Furniture. This is The Rice Show, 940 ESPN. We'll be right back.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs.
Welcome back. It's the Pack Needle. I want to thank Matty J, Matt Johnson, hanging out with Antonoff Harris and Ricky Manning and his group today. Big, big, big clinic coming up. We're going to be pumping it up all week long, so get ready for that. If you're a football player, you're not going to miss this. Pack Needle sitting in with Fred Clark. Fred, I do want to thank Firehouse Subs and, of course, Fashion Furniture, El Paso Blackstone. Nothing like it in California. And, Fred, we're talking before the break about the coaches. Now basketball coaches are voting for the seeding. Now, the basketball is different, Fred, because we know football is the home field advantage. It is what it is. So if you get to the final game, you're playing at your home stadium. Well, basketball, the battle is for the top two seeds. Because if you're the one and two seed, you will meet, if it goes that far, selling arena. So this is why that number two seed, for example, Division I basketball, Clovis West has got it locked up. It's the battle of number two seed. Is it Clovis North, the Rio Grande? Is it going to be the Fuller Knights? Could be Clovis East. There's so many. This is the most wide open Division I I've seen in a long, long time. So this is exciting basketball, Frank. You got to get out to Selden Arena. Because it reminds me of the old days when Jerry Tartini was here and Selden Arena was packed.
Well, Nick, the finals of that game, I'll definitely get out there for that because I love watching Clovis West play. And with the Amundsen brothers at Clovis North and at Bullard and Adrian Wiggins over at Clovis East, we got really good coaches. And just a Final Four of those type of teams, any of those teams could win. And I'm totally ignorant about the teams over on the Central Coast, just like they would be over here. But I don't see.
Get on the Pack Meter, and I'll have you all updated on the rankings this afternoon. The girls are all set online, so we'll get you an idea what it's really going to be about on the girls' side. Clovis West and Clovis North. Speaking of Vance Wahlberg, his daughter Heather Wahlberg Long won the first time in school history beating Clovis West a couple days ago, and so they're going to be a battle of 1 and 2, Clovis West and Clovis North, and that's going to be packed. Now, coach wise. Your thoughts, Paul Golan, going to be now the Garces Rams head coach. What was your thoughts? What you thinking of that?
Anybody that hires him has got a winner in town. So
yeah,
that
now who goes to Bakersfield now? That's a heck of a job.
Well, everything that I would say would just be speculation. I don't know if. Nixon would want to move over from that cush spot he's got at Liberty or not. I was surprised when he went to Liberty from Centennial, but he took that to the next level. And whoever would replace Paul, they got some huge shoes to fill.
Yeah, and if you look at Clovis West, and it looks like they're looking at an out-of-town or out-of-state coach right now. They should be announcing it any moment, but maybe Bakersfield does the same thing. And we got a lot of great coaches around here, but do they go out of state or something like that?
Yeah, you know what Bakersfield, what they've had, three coaches in 70 years. So they haven't had many. And they've all won numerous championships. And when you have something like that, kind of the college version of that was, you know, Penn State until Paterno got in trouble. The only coaches they had had since World War II were Paterno and Rip Engel. And you had two coaches in 55 years. And so, and Bakersfield's kind of like that at a very small level. So I have no idea.
Yeah, no question. And you look in the South Valley, you've got the Bakersfield Christian Eagles now with Darren Carr and David Carr. And, you know, Derek Carr's got some financial into that program. You see a team that a lot of kids are starting to transfer over. You see now you're going to see Garces Rams. Well, kids starting to transfer to Garces now, and maybe they're the new cup of tea in the South Valley. So, you know, we see Memorial starting to do a great job, and a lot of kids are starting to go to Memorial. Garces wants to jump in that little game.
Yeah, and they were real close a few years ago. Garces had some really strong teams, but they just kind of inched out a little bit, and they went for the home run hit, and they got it.
Yeah, they sure did. And I think, boy, I know Paul Gola was looking at that Clovis West job, and I think he probably didn't want to move the family up north, so he stayed home. He saw Garces open, and, you know, that's a great campus. The Garces Rams, they do a great job, and I think Paul's going to do a great job as well. I know there's probably it wasn't easy for him to leave his family. He's built them into a national powerhouse for the Bakersfield Tillers. I mean, I wonder if he's going to try to run that same kind of program over there. That, you know what it is, the Bakersfield's quick, small. They're bouncing around on the defensive side of the ball. They run the triple option. I wonder what they're going to do with Garces.
He's going to do the same thing. You know, he knows what it takes to win. You know, he's won with that system, and that's not going to change anything around. Wherever Gola goes, that's what he's going to do. If he would have come up to Clovis West, and I think it was pretty good for him that he didn't at this stage, he's going to do the same thing. As he's a systems coach, he gets guys to buy in. He knows what works.
Well, we got a couple of openings now. We know the Bakersfield Drillers open. We know Dinuba is close to, I don't know if they have or not. I don't think they have yet, but they're getting ready to hire a new coach after Kevin Sharton left and went to Redwood. A lot of coaches bouncing around. We see every year now we get 10 to 20 new coach moves in high school football. It's not fun. The pay's not there, and a lot of these coaches are like, hey, college hours for high school money, it's just not worth it.
Yeah, I take my hat off to these guys, because all of the time you have to put it, especially when you're getting a new program going, Nick, because you have to go in, you have to meet all the VIPs and the boosters, the alumni, even at the high school level, and get them to know you, and then get the kids to buy in to all of this, work your tail off, and we're talking about easily 14-hour days for a good part of your first year or two, and if you have a family, that makes it really, really difficult, and we're not talking about big money. I mean, I would not touch that stuff even if I did have the talent.
And I think that's the problem anymore. Coaches are finding that out. They got to deal with parents. They got to deal with all that stuff for so many hours. But they do it because of the love. Now, we see I had a trivia question last week. Yosef Ferris, who's the former Madera coach, is now co-head coaches with Donnie Arax over at Bullard. And I said the question was, okay, if Bullard gets a win or loses, who gets the credit for it? And comes back. Apparently, Donnie Arax still gets the credit for the win and loss because he's the more established coach at that school.
Well, I was unaware. I've been out of the loop here for a while, Nick, and I know Yosef was going back. I didn't know they were co-head coaches, but it's a win-win situation for him. So
yeah, I mean it's a great job. I mean he's going to be the defensive coordinator, and he does what he did for the 17 years. The Bullard, he's running the weight room. He's bringing the discipline back, and Donnie really liked that and needed that, and so Donnie will still get credit for the. You can't get a half a point, so that's how I like that. I mean that's the way it should be.
Well, I don't think it would work in a lot of cases, but when you have Donnie's right hand man for all of those years, and they trust each other, they know each other, and it gets back. Yosef is younger, and he can go until Don just doesn't feel like coaching anymore or has a couple of losing seasons in a row and gets shown the door. And then Yosef will be there to take over one way or another. And I'd like to see that happen. He's a real quality coach and a great guy.
Donnie's idea was if he gets the win, he wants to get credit. If the loss would go to Yosef. I don't know if that'll work that way, but he's going to throw that in the pot and see if that works.
Well, hey, I'd do the same thing. You know, you have to go look after number one first.
Yeah, so again, if the Pac Meter rankings for baseball coming out this weekend, basketball coming up, and it's going to be, it is. We all wait around for Saturday to see how it is with soccer and basketball. But, again, it's a battle for those top two seeds. We know Memorial is going to be locked in on the boys' side on the Division II. They're going to be the if they're not number one seed in Division II, I would be shocked. Number the Division III looks like it could be Mount Whitney at the number one seed. Division IV could be Bakersfield Christian. They've been number one all year in my rankings, and then so we'll see how that goes. And Division V could be Liberty Madera Ranchos, could be Granite Hills, the Grizzlies out there. So it's a good series.
Well, I'm gonna kick this dead horse a little bit more, Nick. Why is it San Joaquin Memorial in T1? That would make things so much more fun. I mean, it's gonna be fun anyway, but I want them playing in D1. They're gonna win D2. Well, I shouldn't even say that because a couple of years ago they did stumble, but they ought to be playing D1 ball.
Okay, I'm glad you said that. But here's the plan. We're trying to get in the South of California, the Northern California, they all do it. I want to have an open division. The four best teams on the boys' side and the girls' side square off. So that means there's four teams out of so this year it would be, we know Clovis West would be number one. Memorial would be right there. Maybe Bullard, maybe a Rio Grande, maybe Clovis North. You know, whatever it is, four teams. So if it was Memorial, they'd be out of Division II. They play a Final Four, and they're all guaranteed to play in the state playoffs. So if you are in the open division, you're guaranteed to play in the state. Well, you're not guaranteed if you Division II. They usually take the winner and the loser because they just need teams. But wouldn't that be exciting to have an open division along with Division I and Division II?
Oh,
and
no
all
doubt.
The other divisions.
Yes, I would definitely like that. So,
I got Fred's blessing right there. It's looking good. I'm thinking hopefully for next year.
Well, you and I agree on a lot of other things that have went nowhere in the past. So, what do you think the chances of that are?
Well, I think since the rest of the states are doing it, I think it's got a good chance. We just got to figure out if it is Clovis. Let's say Clovis West won the first round, or Memorial won the first round. They're playing. And if it's at Clovis West, would they play Clovis West or it's going to be a Cylind Arena? There's a lot of factors to that. And I can't imagine the crowd if Clovis West played a Memorial for the Open Division Championship around here. And same thing on the girls' side. If Clovis West played Clovis North again, that would be a great money for the CIF because I'm just feeling a packed house wherever they play.
Well, that would be huge. Just the girls game, I don't know if that would fill up Cylind Arena, but it would get a really big crowd, and if Clovis West and Memorial were playing for a championship, that would definitely fill Cylind Arena up, and you're talking about a lot of revenue, and that revenue is something that gets CIF attention.
Yeah, and they do such a good job, and Bob Kajanian and that group has started that whole Cylind Arena for the championship. Now we got teams from the Central Coast, so they all want to be in. It's going to be on, and this is what's fun about now, is the battle for the top one or two seeds. And I just don't know about, and my email's blown up right now, and a lot of people don't like the idea that coaches pick where these teams are seeded, because a lot of these coaches haven't seen some of the Central Coast. Now, there's Division IV. I don't think there's any teams in the Central Coast. I got to look right now. I know Division V, there's none. So that's okay. When you start talking about new Central Coast teams who don't know anything about, how am I going to vote on Mission Preps? How do I know about this team if I haven't seen them play visually? I mean, I can go to Pac-Mir rankings and go, oh, Pac-Mir has them number 8. They got to be pretty good. That's how they do it. But I don't know if I like that way. I want to see a team.
Well, I think you would like it that way because people.
How do I know? How do I know Fred Clark's one of the best mailmen in the world? I got to see you perform, right?
Well, it's been a long time ago, but you'll have to take my word for it. But
well, let's take a break, Frederick. We got to take another break. Tony D coming up next. We'll take a break. We'll come back. This is the Rice Show, 940 ESPN.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Rice Show. Maddie J, the Pack Peter, Fred Clark sitting in. Before we get out of here, I just want to mention on the girls' side of basketball, if you look at the tops, in Division One. Clovis West or Clovis North will be easily the 1 and 2 or 2 and 1. Clovis West right now should be the number one seed, but it doesn't really matter. If you get the 1 or 2 seed, that's what you want. In Division Two, the defending champ Bakersfield Drillers are going to battle with Garces, who they're co-SWYL champs with, along with Yosemite Badgers. Two of those three teams are going to be the top two. Division Three, it looks like Selma Bears will be the number one seed. The other one will be a battle for the number two seed. In Division Four, it's all San Joaquin Memorial. The battle will be for the number two seed. Memorial easily could be battling in Division Two. Well, that they're going to just wipe people out, I believe, in Division Four. Division Five, it's Carruthers in Division One. In Division Five, the battle will be for that number two seed. But Fred, you see how important it is. The number two seed, you get to play at home all the way through, and then you get to go play at Selma Arena if you go that far.
Well, when getting back to the boys here, Nick, the team that did themselves the biggest disservice earlier in the week was Clovis North. Not that they lost to Clovis West, but the way they lost to Clovis West. If that would have been a nail-biter and they would have lost by a couple of points, maybe even 4 or 5, they could make a strong case themselves. But getting hammered the way they did, they're not going to be a number two seed. They're going to have to go and play a game or two, a few games on the road.
That's the question, though, Frederick. That is the question, because you look at they've already beaten Clovis West already. So they split. No one else has really beaten Clovis West. They could put their name in the bowl for number two seed.
Well, the way they got beat Monday night. When you lose a game by, well, they lost by 23 points, but at one time they were down by over 30. And it's difficult to come back less than a week later and claim you're number two when you get hammered like that. So I think helped the Knights considerably.
Yeah, the Knights story is they lost to Clovis North. They split with Clovis North. They lost to Rio Grande, and they lost to Bakersfield. Bakersfield is going to want that number two seed as well, because they're the undefeated team in the Southwest Yosemite League. Frederick, great job today. Tony D coming up next. I want to thank Maddie J. A big, big show coming up when it comes to the football clinic. We'll talk more about that. He's on his way to it, talking to some great coaches around the nation. I want to thank Russ back in the studio. Tony D coming in next, followed by CT. Have a great afternoon, everybody. You've been listening to The Rise Show, 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader. And Matt says, get in the game!